Everyone, and welcome to Legally Speaking with Michael Mulligan of Mulligan, Tam, and Pearson. Hi, Michael. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you as well.
I understand that you managed to get home in your 4x4 yesterday, but...
That was an hour and a half. That was the slowest effort to get around Ring Road I think I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And even if your vehicle, of course, is moving, inevitably there's somebody in a 1978 Honda Civic with bald tires trying to get up a hill in front of you. So it doesn't much matter what you do in terms of your your vehicle.
Lots of people waiting for your radio appearance on the show today. We're going to start with Esquimalt Mayor Barb Desjardins vying for the BC Liberal Party nomination in Esquimalt Metchosin. What do you think from a legal perspective?
It has a number of interesting implications. And of course, one of the things which we are now waiting for is the decision from the Police Complaints Commissioner into the handling or into the not the handling, but into the suspended police chief Elsner. And of course, Mayor Desjardins is intimately connected to the decision not only to hire him, but then the decision about how to handle that disciplinary matter. So this decision to seek the nomination, of course, is coming shortly before we get what's reported to be a 300-page report into the investigation into the conduct of the police chief. So there may well be some real questions to be answered, depending on what the outcome of that report is, in terms of her handling it in her role as the chair of the police board. So that's going to that may have some very interesting not only legal but political implications, just given the timing of that. Of course, if she was to get elected and was no longer the chair of the police board, that would also have some implications going forward in terms of how that matter and others are handled. So it's an interesting one. I mean, the reports are that she's a lock for that nomination. But it will be interesting to see if she gets that, what baggage she might have following the report from the Police Complaints Commissioner.
When are we expecting that report from the police?
I think I've given up expecting anything, given that it's been put off about four times.
Uh-huh.
It's now been going on for a long period of time. I think the latest adjournment was for a few more weeks from now. Adjournment that was granted or extension that was granted to the investigation indicated that there's this 300-page report. There have been dozens of people interviewed. It sounds like a massive undertaking, and that is the explanation for why it has taken so long. But the timing of that will be interesting. We're likely to, if the matter comes through as currently promised, we're likely to see that in a few weeks. And no doubt that what's there is going to have some potential implications, both legal in terms of the chief, but also politically in terms of Ms. Desjardins and her role in the matter.
What if the report comes back and he's exonerated?
Well, that would have an implication as well. Even if the report came back and found that the chief was blameless and that the more serious matters that were being investigated in terms of whether or not he tried to influence witnesses or delete evidence, if those are unfounded, and they conclude in that report that the initial decision to put this letter of reprimand secretly on his file was an appropriate disciplinary action, of course, that would be very helpful to Ms. Desjardins. So it's just interesting days. There's something very substantial that's going to have a legal implication for the chief, but a political implication for Ms. Desjardins.
What if there is the report uncovers wrongdoing? What could the co-chairs of the police board have on their plates?
Well, there'd be a number of things. I mean, there would first of all be, depending on what is found there, there'd be questions to be answered about the decision to initially hire Chief Elsner. There would then be issues about whether the initial way that the report of this inappropriate Twitter relationship with the subordinate's wife was handled, whether the decision to come to this agreement to keep it quiet and put a letter of reprimand on his file is appropriate. I think there'll be political questions to be answered about whether the Mayor Desjardins' statements to the media about the status of the investigation were truthful. There will be political questions to be answered about things like the decision the police board is elected not to stop the police chief's pay, even though he's not working. All of those are going to be legitimate. I mean, they're legal issues in some respects for the chief, but they're political issues for the mayors.
So essentially, what I'm hearing from you, though, is that other than what may or may not have been correct decision making, other than that, the co-chairs wouldn't face any legal ramifications?
It doesn't sound that there's no suggestion at this point that they've done something that's unlawful. Sort of the implications for them are going to be issues about judgment, right? Those issues like, you know, the decision to hire, whether the decision to try to have this private letter of reprimand, whether that was appropriate or satisfactory. Whether their decision to continue to pay him when there's no mechanism to recover the funds was appropriate. And it's that level of inquiry, right? They're really, in terms of the mayors, the inquiries are whether their conduct was appropriate, not lawful. Right? I mean, plainly, they've got the lawful authority to take the choice to continue to pay him. Whether that's politically palatable to the voters is for the voters to decide. It's not so much a legal problem as a political one.
How much are taxpayers paying for suspended Chief Frank Elsner right now?
Well, he doesn't want to have released, they haven't released all of the details of his pay. There's some things which are ambiguous. His salary was just over $200,000 a year, so he's continued to be paid that. When you looked at the last police budget, there are some other figures in there that I think bear some inquiry. There's a $75,000 car allowance. It's unclear whether that's going to the suspended chief or others or quite what sort of vehicle, if any, he's driving around in. So it's unclear exactly how much. And then the other costs, of course, are all the legal expenses that have now been incurred here.
Would there be a cost for increasing the salary if, in fact, that's what happened with acting Vic PD Chief Delmanic?
Well, sure. I mean, they're effectively, they're paying for two chiefs of police, one who works and one who is at home. You know, I don't think the problem is so much paying the fellow who's there doing the job. Certainly we should be paying him. I think the question is, should we be paying the guy who's at home with the bunny slippers on?
Oh, my. Okay. CFAX listeners, we're going to take some calls when we come back here on Legally Speaking with Michael Mulligan of Mulligan, Tam & Pearson. I'm Pamela McCall. Stay with us.
When news breaks, Victoria counts on CFAX 1070.
City of Victoria is reminding residents and businesses with this blanket of snow, you need to make sure snow and ice are cleared from sidewalks in front of properties.
Central Saanich Police is confirming that a man was clearing snow with a Zamboni.
It's official, Mayor of Esquimalt, Barb Desjardin, that she will be seeking the BC Liberal Party nomination in the Esquimalt Machosin riding.
If it's happening, it's here. CFAX 1070.
Have you booked your Sunwing vacation yet? With 12,000 vacations at up to 50% off, now is the time to take advantage of Sunwing's incredible deals on top-rated all-inclusive resorts, perfect for families, adult, and luxury vacations. Space is extremely limited and going fast, so book by February 10th and get on board with Canada's number one to the sun. Contact your travel agent or...
How Bell makes smartphones better.
These are two identical twins.
Hi.
We gave them identical Samsung Galaxy S7 smartphones.
Cool.
If Twin 1 and Twin 2 start downloading their favorite show at the exact same time, whose download finishes first?
Mine. Wait, what?
That's right. Twin 1 is on Bell. And only Bell gives you access to Canada's fastest ranked and largest network. Get amazing devices starting from $0 on a 2-year plan. Visit a Bell store for details.
Being with Bell just got better.
It's a division showdown when your Victoria Royals battle the Kamloops Blazers. Tomorrow night is game one at 7:05 at the Savon Foods Memorial Center. It's Ugly Blazer Night, presented by Outlooks Menswear. Wear your Ugly Blazer to the game to get 10% off your next purchase at Outlooks. You could also compete in the Ugliest Blazer Contest. Then Saturday night, it's game two of this back-to-back division clash. Find out more at victoriaroyals.com. Victoria Royals Hockey. True Blue.
Honey, the basement is flooded.
Are you serious? Again?
Yep.
again.
Does this sound familiar? During the rainy season, basements can become damp, and in some cases, they can even flood. If this is a reoccurring or brand new problem in your home, then get in touch with Active Bobcat and Drains for any type of wet basement situation. Get a free quote at ActiveBobcat.com. That's ActiveBobcat.com.
The sporty, dependable Toyota Corolla is delighting BC owners.
I'm Hector Hortolano. I'm also a student, so I need a car that's reliable, economical, and has great gas mileage. The new styling's really amazing. It's a lot sportier and a lot more athletic.
You can lease your own 2017 Corolla with Toyota Safety Sense P from $39 weekly for 60 months during the Smart Buy event at your Toyota BC dealer. Visit getyourtoyota.ca for more details.
I'm Hector Hortolano, and this ad is owner approved.
Making the unpredictable predictable. Local weather all day. If it's happening, it's here. CFAX 1070. Keeping you informed, Pamela McCall on CFAX 1070.
Welcome back, everyone. Thanks for joining Legally Speaking with Michael Mulligan of Mulligan, Tam, and Pearson. We've been talking about Esquimalt Mayor Barb Desjardins vying for the BC Liberal Party nomination in Esquimalt Metchosin. As Michael was saying, it looks locked in. We're also going to now move on to what's going on between the BC Liberals, the Premier of the province, and the NDP and the idea that perhaps they hacked the BC Liberals.
Yes, this is fascinating on a few levels. It's interesting to me, both on a sort of a technical perspective, because one of my practice areas deals with computer forensics, but also interesting from a legal perspective in terms of the response from John Horgan. And you've got the Premier, it sounds like, making this allegation that the NDP tried to hack into the Liberals' webpage and repeating that, doing it initially in some online forum and then repeating that suggestion. And that's a fairly serious accusation, right? You're effectively, you're accusing people in an organization of engaging in illegal activity. And you need to be very careful with that sort of thing. And one interesting thing is that politicians, or MLAs, I should say, in the House have privilege. And what that means is that if you can't get sued for slander, for saying something which is defamatory, that's to say you're damaging somebody's reputation by saying something about them that's untrue, if you say it in the House, lawyers also enjoy that privilege for things that are said in court and for pleadings. So it's like, for example, if you sue somebody and make some claim in a statement of claim that, you know, a person stole something or hacked into your computer, and it turns out you don't prove it, you can't be sued for making the false allegation. And the idea is that you want to allow, in some circumstances, there to be, you know, debates in the legislature or submissions made in court without fear of being sued for what you've said afterwards. But, and sometimes you'll hear that in the political context of some allegations made in the House, and the other member says, look, step outside and repeat that. And really what's being said is, step outside, I dare you to repeat it, because if you do, I'm going to sue you, because it's untrue. That's what John Horgan has said to the Premier. Look, you've defamed me and us, and we may sue you. So you've now seen this interesting effort by the Premier to try to walk that back a little bit. And it may be that she got some legal advice in terms of what her potential exposure would be.
Would that not have been evident to the Premier of British Columbia before she made the utterance?
That's hard to say. It may have been brought home. I mean, the case that came to mind for me was the case where former Premier Van der Zandt was sued successfully by Ted Hughes for things that Mr. Van der Zandt wrote in a book. He was sued successfully. And in 2012, Mr. Van der Zandt was ordered to pay $60,000 in damages for doing that. And the things to be remembered are, when a person, one thing to be remembered is where there's some defamatory statement made like that, you can aggravate the damages if you're repeating it and insisting upon it, and you might mitigate them if you apologize for it and uncategorically retract it and make clear that, you know, the other person isn't a thief or a liar or a computer hacker or whatever it is you've accused them of being. So it may well be that she got some advice that there's some significant potential liability if you make an untrue statement like that. which can be mitigated if you apologize, retract it, and make clear that you said something about the other person which was untrue. So it was also interesting from my perspective looking at sort of what BC Liberals fell back on when pressed about this serious allegation, and they suggested that there was some IP address at the Legislative Assembly that was used in this alleged hacking incident, which was interesting to me from a technical point of view in terms of what, you know, reasonable inference somebody could draw from that. And an IP address is sort of like a telephone number, right? Mm-hmm. It's sort of the address that a device, a computer on the internet would be assigned for the purpose of communications. Their effort to explain why they were making this allegation of the NDP was that some IP address was associated with the Legislative Assembly in Victoria. So if they have some evidence of that, it seems to me that something which could be shared and scrutinized. But it now would appear that Ms. Clark is trying to walk that back, suggesting that perhaps she jumped the gun or something of that sort.
Well, I'm looking at tweets from her press secretary, Stephen Smart, from this morning. At Christy Clark says she was really mad when she found out hacking attempt came from BC Ledge, and she drew a quick conclusion. He goes on to say, but at Christy Clark says she would not have jumped to such a quick conclusion until proper investigation is complete, did so out of anger.
Well, that's interesting. Well, that's not an apology, and that's not retracting the comment. So it's like if somebody says, look, so-and-so committed a crime, it's not adequate to say, well, look, maybe I was a little premature or angry when I said that. If you want to be apologizing and retracting it, that should be done in a clear fashion, because she's accused effectively of them of a crime being committed. And if she wishes to stand by that, that's her prerogative. If it turns out that that claim was false, she's subject to being sued, and she may line up behind Mr. Van Der Zandt in terms of paying damages for doing it. Now, I would hope that politics don't all have to be conducted in court. You would hope that people would have the experience and judgment, would exercise some judgment and not make allegations of that sort about a person or organization unless there's a basis to do so. And if that was a calculated thing to do, that's pretty crass. So just some greater care needs to be taken before a politician or leader goes off and starts making allegations if they're serious, damaging, and if it turns out they're untrue, that's actionable.
If she were to be sued, what are the chances that there wouldn't be an outcome on such a case until after the election?
There'd be no hope of there being an outcome beforehand unless the thing was settled. I mean, most civil cases wind up settling, that timeline doesn't seem realistic. If she was sued, that process would likely go on for years. Ultimately, the case I mentioned there, the one where former Premier Van Der Zandt was successfully sued, that would have taken some time, and ultimately that proceeded to a civil jury trial. So that can that can take time.
I want to go back to some of the tweets here. Stephen Smart, Christy Clark's press secretary, about 5 hours ago saying Christy Clark says hacking is not acceptable in BC politics, says she jumped to a conclusion, as others did, about where the hack attempt came from. And John Horgan then tweeted out, thanks for that, Sean Spicer. in reference to White House.
Sure. I mean, that's... you know, the alternative fact reality is a problematic one, right? When, and particularly now, you've got these sort of unfiltered avenues for information to be disseminated to a large number of people. You know, I'm not sure how many people read Van Der Zandt's book. I would hazard to say not that many. It can be another matter when you have these sort of comments made in a forum which many more people would have access to. These original allegations that the premier made were apparently made on a live Facebook forum. You'd be able to look at how many people would have seen that. They've been repeated in various other contexts. The amount of potential damages, if a statement is untrue, would be greater if it if it causes greater damage, right? If you've got something written in some book that, you know, a few people have read, that's going to be less harmful than if your false allegations, if that's what they turn out to be, are on the front page of the newspaper or all over the internet. So there needs to be care exercised here. Politicians may get a little comfortable because they can get away with stretching things in the legislature, but they are afforded no protection outside.
You say that this is one of your areas of expertise. To what extent, with the allegation that the NDP hacked the BC Liberals, how difficult would it have been for the Premier to ascertain whether or not that actually happened before making the accusation?
Well, there'd be a number of things that have to be answered here. So why did you believe there was some hacking attempt? What are we talking about? Was there some log on the web server indicating somebody tried to log in with the wrong password? What are we talking about here? There are all kinds of technical issues that can arise if your basis for trying to connect something to an individual is the use of an IP address, because those aren't always a good indication of who, in fact, is doing something.
Got a comment here from Alan. He says, she stated earlier this week, the Liberal site hacked, she, presumably being Christy Clark, stated earlier this week that the NDP are going to use south of the border style politics, yet this accusation of the hacked site from the NDP is exactly that. We don't know if it was calculated or if it was an honest mistake.
Oh, on the part of the Premier in terms of suggesting that was so? Yes.
And the idea that, you know, White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer, who has alternative
facts.
Yeah. That we can liken the situation to that.
Yes. And I mean, if her explanation is, look, I jumped to conclusions and I said that in anger, the appropriate thing to do would be to make a clear and cogent apology and say, look, it's simply not so, and you're not a criminal. And when I said that, I was wrong and I apologize for it. That would be a clear apology, not a, you know, maybe I jump to conclusions and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Does it behoove a premier to react on anger, as your press secretary has suggested in the tweets, that presumably a knee-jerk reaction if, in fact, that is correct?
Well, you just need to be very careful. Before you start accusing people of committing a crime in a public forum, you better be confident that you've got that right. It's also why you would often not see things like the police holding a press conference about somebody until there's been a charge approval decision or a court appearance or something else, so that they don't wind up in jeopardy if you say something that's untrue.
Can't believe we're out of time. It's always fascinating having you on, and it's often very humorous as well, despite the subject matter. Well, thanks so much, Michael. We'll do it again next week.
Thank you.
Been talking, of course, to Michael Mulligan of Mulligan, Tam and Pearson here on Legally Speaking. I'm Pamela McCall. Stay with us. News is next.